Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
To thine own self be true, and it must follow, as the night, the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. Of course, that's a refrain from William Shakespeare's Hamlet, sage advice from Polonius to his son Laertes, and according to a bold, controversial claim, Shakespeare the writer may not have been entirely true to his own self. Here's the theory. William Shakespeare's greatest masterpieces, while written by his hand, were inspired by the life, writings, and plays of someone else, Thomas North. It's the claim made by Dennis McCarthy, a self-taught researcher from the Granite State, who spent more than 15 years digging into this idea. And it's the story told in a new book by Boston journalist Michael Blanding, North by Shakespeare, a rogue scholar's quest for the truth behind the bard's work. And joining us now is author and investigative journalist Michael Blanding. Michael, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you, and we have Dennis McCarthy, the rogue scholar that Blanding writes about. Dennis, good to have you as well.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So, Michael, I'm going to start with you, and we will dig deeply into the theories here in a second, but I want to start. Why'd you write a book about Dennis at his dining room table in New Hampshire looking to alter what we know about Shakespeare? What intrigued you?
Well, I first met Dennis about 6 years ago. He approached me after a book reading that I gave and started telling me these theories. And in the beginning, I really didn't know what to make of them. I found them very far-fetched. And you know, this idea that Shakespeare was plagiarizing or taking these other works somehow and making them into his own, I just didn't find much truth to it. But as he started sending me information and as I started looking more deeply into it, it just started making a lot of sense that, you know, Shakespeare, there's been all kinds of questions about how Shakespeare could have written about legal situations and written about war and written about travels in Italy. And here's this other writer, Thomas North, who had all these experiences and had this, you know, amazingly colorful life. And Dennis was uncovering all of this evidence that he may have written plays himself that Shakespeare then took and adapted and could have done, you know, completely legally and completely at the time, you know, it was very common practice to take source plays and adapt them and make them your own. And so as I started looking into it, as we started traveling together and exploring these theories, I just felt like it was something that needed to be heard and something that really needed to be considered by scholars.
All right, so let's give Dennis a bit of a drum roll before I turn to you, Dennis, for your first question. And let's do that, Michael, by having you read a little bit from the book early on where you describe that time when Dennis approached you.
Sure. So yeah, just to set the stage, I had given this book reading and Dennis had invited me out for drinks afterwards. And we went to this college bar where there was sort of very loud kind of impromptu karaoke from other patrons of the bar. But Dennis turned to me and said, "You know how Shakespeare used other sources to write his plays?" McCarthy asked over the din of amateur Bon Jovi. "Sure," I replied, trying to remember anything about Shakespeare's sources from my first year college class. "Well, I found a source no one ever knew about before," he said. "This unknown manuscript," he continued, "was a treatise by 16th century courtier named George North. The work," he claimed, "influenced some of Shakespeare's greatest plays, including Richard III, Macbeth, and King Lear." "But Shakespeare never even read the manuscript," McCarthy continued. "Instead, George's relative, Sir Thomas North, had used it to write his own plays. And Shakespeare had used these earlier plays by Thomas North for his ideas, his language, and even some of his most famous soliloquies." I didn't believe any of it. "Where are North's plays now?" I asked. "Lost," McCarthy said, "but so were most manuscripts written in the Elizabethan era. Why hadn't anyone discovered this before?" "Because no one had the right tools to do so," he said, arguing excitedly that his computer-assisted techniques had the potential to finally solve the mystery of how and why Shakespeare's plays were written. I vaguely knew about conspiracy theories that Shakespeare was a fraud and the plays were really written by the Earl of Oxford or someone else, but this was something different. McCarthy's theory was more akin to saying Shakespeare plagiarized or collaborated with another writer. The theory seemed outlandish, but I liked McCarthy and was somewhat amused by the lengths to which he'd gone to pitch me. I promised to look at whatever he sent me.
That's author Michael Blanding reading from his new book, North by Shakespeare, A Rogue Scholar's Quest for the Truth Behind the Bard's Work. So, Dennis, we've drumrolled you in here. I'm going to bring you back in, and I'm going to say two things. One, I took from the book that you mean it. You really, really believe that this is the history. And I wanted to go with you. I really did. But there are some pieces missing, and those pieces that are missing don't bother you, right?
Well, what pieces are you talking about? Maybe I can change your mind right here.
Well, let's do that. So you argue, as we just heard, that Thomas North wrote plays that are now lost, but Shakespeare had access to those plays and adapted them. So let's just start with the fact that how did you become so convinced that this piece, these missing plays, were sort of like the missing link in the history of Shakespeare, of explaining Shakespeare?
Sure. Well, there's no doubt that the plays existed. Actually, Shakespeare scholars all agree that there was an earlier Hamlet. In fact, that's how I first discovered Thomas North. I was looking for the author of the earlier Hamlet, which is referred to in 1589, long before Shakespeare could have written his first masterpiece. There's all sorts of fossil evidence, or what I call fossil evidence, or allusions to other early plays. So scholars have known that there was an early Romeo and Juliet, an early Merchant of Venice, an early Timon of Athens. They just didn't know who wrote them. All I'm doing is identifying the author. And I'm doing it with not just a lot of evidence, I'm doing it with it what I believe are to be a lot of smoking guns.
So pick a couple of smoking guns, Dennis, to illustrate for our listeners how you connect these dots.
Sure. We found Thomas North's journal through my partner in crime, June Schluter, who's at Lafayette College. She was editor of the Shakespeare Bulletin and a well-known Shakespeare scholar. And we found Thomas North's actual handwritten unpublished journal. And a number of the passages in there were actually used for Henry VIII. The journal also helps explain Winter's Tale for the first time. And even if you argue that, well, William Shakespeare got a hold of Thomas North's journal, you have the problem that not only did Thomas North, what I believe is, use the entries that he had written in the journal in for some of the passages in Henry VIII, he also used some of the historical works that he used to write the journal. So Thomas North was using these historical passages from Hall's Chronicle and Cavendish's Life of Wolsey to write his journal. And those are the same passages, and this is conventional, those same passages that he used to write his journal, he used to write Henry VIII. So you've got a double coincidence there. You've got to have Shakespeare, not only has to have access to Thomas North's journal, he has to somehow know what passages that North used in order to write the journal, what these historical passages were from Hall's Chronicle and Cavendish's Life of Wolsey, and that's just impossible. The easiest explanation is that the guy who wrote the source play for this is Thomas North, and that's why his passages are all throughout Henry VIII and a number of other plays. That's one example.
Okay. Okay, that's a very helpful example. So now there are a couple of things I want to comb out here, and I'm going to start with you, Michael. So part of the core argument here, you talked about it a little bit, Michael, Dennis just talked about it, is there was a person, Thomas North, whose life tracked all the experiences and exposure one would have to be able to write all the plays that Shakespeare wrote. And I'm going to say wrote, even though I know that in the context of this book and many scholars, the argument would be is credited with writing. I just don't have game. I can't hang with that. So I'm just going to use the words I was taught in English myself. Right. So, but what you do then, Michael, is you go with Dennis on this journey to retrace some of Thomas North's steps. And that really got you. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was really fascinating. So when I started writing this book, I felt like it would be a really boring book just to have two guys sitting across the table from each other, you know, talking about Shakespeare and Thomas North. So I convinced Dennis to go travel with me to England and Italy and France and visit some of these places and actually, you know, sort of walk in the footsteps of Thomas North and see how it might have influenced these plays. And so we went to an Italian palace that may have influenced the Winter's Tale, in which there are these amazing frescoes on the wall that were made by this Italian artist that Shakespeare mentions in the plays, and no one knows how or why he mentioned that artist in particular. We went to an English castle that may have figured into A Midsummer Night's Dream, where there was just this amazing festival that Midsummer Night's Dream, many scholars believe, was actually based on that festival. And that was created by this lord by the name of Robert Dudley, the Earl of Leicester, who is this sort of longtime suitor of Queen Elizabeth and happened to be Thomas More's patron. And in fact, Dennis uncovered many clues in many of the plays that seem to relate to this quest by Leicester to marry the queen, and not only references referring to his own desire to marry the queen, but also other references sort of mocking or trashing other suitors that were also in the running, that, you know, at the time Shakespeare wrote his plays, many of them were dead, or many of them, you know, were no longer, you know, a part of that story. And so, so it was really fascinating to me to sort of go to these places and see these stories from Thomas More's own life, as well as the life of his patron, the Earl of Leicester, and find these clues in the plays that might have suggested why he wrote particular scenes or particular passages in the ways that he did.
And it is fascinating. I learned a ton about Elizabethan history, and I will say the part that was most compelling to me in this argument was the wide experiences that Thomas North had that then show up in Shakespeare's plays. Dennis, I want to turn back to you, because one of the other things that's fascinating about this story in Michael's book is you. I mean, you are a character in this story. You broke into another scholarly area in geobiology without a PhD in that field, wound up a hugely respected thinker, decided to take some of the techniques from there, and what the heck, try them on Shakespeare, which, A, wow, and then became widely controversial. I mean, scholars in Shakespeare hate your ideas here. So talk a little bit about all of that, about being you trying to do this.
Yes, right. Not all scholars. Some scholars have been very kind to me. A lot of the top scholars, Stephen Greenblatt, and of course June Schluter, who's my
June,
partner,
right,
have been extremely respectful. Michael Dobson's another one, and it's really, there's just people who are very emotional. Some scholars are very emotionally involved in their particular idea of Shakespeare, and so they are. It's like what I'm claiming is sacrilegious, and I'm a blasphemer, and there's, you know,
it's heresy.
They just hate me through and through. So there's no way to get on their good side. And, but they're really, they themselves don't even have a candidate for the early author of these early plays. They're just hoping to God it's not Thomas North, even though all his passages are in the plays.
So, what does it tell us about Shakespeare? Is it a condemnation of Shakespeare, Dennis, if you're right?
I don't really think it is, simply because other people and other playwrights at the time were also adapting works. And that's the word I would use, adaptation. That's what Shakespeare was doing. And we have records from the era of others, of all the other top playwrights, often rewriting other plays. The only difference is that Shakespeare started getting credit for the older plays. And he didn't just get credit also for Thomas More's plays. He also got credit for even for like Yorkshire Tragedy, which was a Thomas Middleton play, and that was published with his name on it. And so he started getting credit for all the plays his company was producing, simply because he was the most successful play producer at the time. And they were putting his own close adaptations of North's work, and he would have a few plays published at the time under his name. He started out by saying that they were corrected and augmented. That's what the title pages said. And then after he died, when they put the first folio out and with all the plays, that's when he really became known as the original and sole author of the mm-hmm. masterpieces. But at the time he was writing, people knew that he was adapting works. And I don't think he was trying to disguise that fact.
All right, we are almost out of time. So, Michael, I'm going to turn back to you. In a sentence or two, what is the lesson you want people to take from this book?
Well, I think that, you know, people ask, what does it matter who wrote the plays? They're still the same plays, right? There's still these works of genius, you know, that we've read for literally hundreds of years. But I think that for me, considering these theories and looking at them through Dennis's eyes and through Thomas North's eyes, really do explain a lot of elements about the plays and make them potentially so much richer. And, you know, when you consider, for example, that Thomas North was writing these translations that were all about, you know, what makes a good ruler. And then you look at, you know, so many of the questions in the plays, not just the English histories, but Hamlet, Macbeth, King Lear, you know, even As You Like It, The Tempest, they're all about that same question. And, you know, if you look at elements of Thomas North's life and consider that maybe he wrote a play about Henry V while he was at war, wrote King
Michael,
Lear while
I'm
he was
so
suffering
sorry.
Poverty.
Mike, we got to go. Really, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. No, it just makes them so much more richer. And I think for that reason, it's really worth exploring.